Jesus will lead us all the way to glory. He went to prepare a place for us, and he told his disciples, you know the way, where I'm going. We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? But I'm thankful that he came and he lived the way. He was the way, and he came and showed us that way. I'd like to begin in the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. Verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." I trust this afternoon that that's all of our prayer and our desire. Lord, show me your way. And if you'll give me an understanding of your way and of your desire for my life, of what your will is for me, Lord, I'll do it. That's my heart's desire. It's not to just try to go through life and be of a mindset or of a heart that if I don't know better, then I'm not responsible for it. Maybe if I don't, there's something maybe that I kind of want to do. I don't really want to ask the Lord about it because I'm a little bit afraid of what he might say. Maybe whenever we're children, we can relate perhaps a little more. There's something that I want to do or something that I'd like to have, or, and I'm a little afraid to ask mom and dad because if they say no, then that's supposed to be the end of the story. So I'd rather just assume that my way is right and that it would be okay. I don't believe the Lord wants us to take that approach with him. I believe he wants us to be of the desire that the psalmist said here. Lord, would you teach me your way? Lord, would you show me the right way? I don't know how many times I've prayed what the psalmist said here. Incline my heart. Lord, would you incline my heart in the right direction? I'd like to consider this afternoon about understanding the mystery of his will. And I'll have to tell you, this is something I can't speak for the rest of you. I haven't graduated from this class. The Lord's having to teach me a whole lot, and I hope you'll be blessed with some of the things that he's been trying to teach me along the way. Understanding the Lord's will for us, for our lives, isn't that important? To be able to understand and to know what's right. To be able to have an understanding of the right way. I don't want to just assume through life my way is right. I don't want to just assume it. You've heard the analogy perhaps of the man that had shot into, I think it was the side of the barn, and he pointed it out to somebody right in the middle of the bullseye. Smack dab center of the bullseye, and they were impressed. That's impressive. That looks good. Well, the problem was he painted the bullseye around it after he shot, or it was in the target. I might be mixing the stories. But you know, it's easy enough for us to do that in our lives, to take that approach that my assumption is my way is the right way. The path that I'm on, the place that I'm in, the decisions that I'm making, I just assume it is the Lord's will, that this is the place that the Lord wants me to be. But I would encourage us this afternoon to be in the mindset like the psalmist was. Lord, my desire is to know your will. My desire is to know, Lord, all I'm asking is if you'll just show me, if you'll just incline my heart in the right way, because I don't always have, get ahead of myself here, but I don't always have a clear understanding. Lord, exactly what do you want me to do next? Lord, exactly where and how and what and when. And it seems like I don't always have the answers in life. But you know, we have the blessing of being able to come to the Lord and say, Lord, incline my heart. Lord, where I don't have all the answers, would you point my heart in the right direction? You know, the Lord knows how to guide us and establish us in His will. Let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, in whom, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. I'm thankful that the Lord has a purpose for us. We heard about purpose this morning. I'm so thankful the Lord doesn't just put us out in the middle of life's ocean as a ship without a rudder, that we just, whatever way the winds take us, whatever direction the currents flow, that's the direction that I go in life. I'm thankful the Lord has a purpose for us. He has a design. He has a plan. He has a place that He wants us to be, and He has a place that He wants to take us unto. But you know, it calls it here the mystery of His will. It's not just automatic that I, as a man, as mankind, that I'll understand God's will. Because the ways of God are foolishness unto man. Man can't receive the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. Yet there is a way that seems right to a man, and the end of that way is of death. So if I, the song we sang earlier today, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness, I know I'd go astray. I wouldn't be in the center of God's will. I wouldn't be in the place that He says, Clint, this is the purpose that I have in your life. This is where I want you. This is what I want you doing. This is how I want you to obey and follow me. I wouldn't find that way. It's a mystery unto mankind. But I am so thankful that we serve a revealer of mysteries. He did unto Daniel. Whenever Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and didn't know what it meant, the Lord had a purpose in that. The Lord had a message that He was trying to reveal that spoke throughout the ages of the times that were to come. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have an understanding of all that. Daniel didn't either. But Daniel knew where to go. We're not always going to have the answers to what unfolds in our life. Lord, what does this mean? I don't know what this means. Why did you bring this onto the scene of my life right now? How do I reconcile this into my life? But there is one, as Daniel says, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. There is a God that's able and desires to unravel the mystery of His will for every one of us personally. I'd like to look now at a familiar scripture in the opening of the book of Hebrews. You might be able to quote it, but let's turn and read it. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You know, there are so many ways that the Lord spoke in times past. There have been so many ways down throughout history that history records, and how many other times throughout the course of people's lives did the Lord direct? Did the Lord guide? You know, the Lord has so many ways of communicating with us as well. You know, there have been times, so many times in my life, and it's been my experience, and maybe yours is different, that whenever I got saved, the Lord didn't unravel to me, here's your life's plan all laid out before you. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I expect out of your life. There is a part and a portion of His will that He conveys to us through His word of how we are to live acceptably before Him. But so many times I found in my own life that That will is revealed as we yield ourselves to Him. And as we trust in Him to work His will in our lives, to bring together all the pieces. There's a song that we sing that says something about right was the pathway leading unto this. Many times when we look back on our lives, when we've given ourselves to the Lord, we can see more clearly how the Lord has led us to this point. Things that the Lord has done in the past that at the time I didn't understand it. At the time I didn't know what the Lord was trying to do here. But I can see sometimes looking back, Lord, you knew just what you were doing. Yes. The Lord in times past, in the centuries that have gone by, has revealed Himself in so many ways and in so many times. We read a condensed version of the history of the world here over the course of thousands of years, and it records of some of those times where the Lord stepped in and He revealed His will unto people. Whenever He came and He revealed Himself, whether it was by a burning bush, whether it was by dream or by vision or by prophet, whether it was by angels that came and appeared to bring a message unto mankind. We read about, it was common practice, even in the early New Testament dispensation, the casting of lots to determine what the will and the mind of the Lord was. We read about the Urim and Thummim, that it was that under the Old Testament that they were to consult to understand what the mind and the will of the Lord was. You read about Saul. Whenever Saul fell out of favor of the Lord and he disobeyed and the Lord's blessing was taken from Saul, there came a time when Saul realized, I'm in trouble. Because he was seeking the Lord and he didn't get any answer. He was asking of the Lord and he heard nothing. You know that? That's one of the most fearful, frightening, awful places I can imagine in this life to be in. I'm trying to get a hold of the Lord. I'm trying, Lord, I need an answer here. I need something from you. But I've pushed you off for so long now that I can't hear your voice whenever I need to hear it the most. It says that Saul resorted to Urim. He looked to Urim. He went back. Lord, let me try to get your will through this means. And there was no answer given. The Lord has spoken by writing on a wall. He's spoken by a fleece on the ground. Voice from heaven. And I'm sure that we could go on and on. If we went around the room of how many other ways has the Lord, as you, we think back throughout the Bible stories, has the Lord shown Himself? Has the Lord revealed that He was in something or behind something to the children of Israel? Their clue was, whenever that pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, whenever it picked up and it moved, you know it's time to move. The mystery of His will. You know, sometimes it seems like, Lord, if you just make it that clear to me again. Lord, if you would just reveal the questions that I have in my life, in my mind. Lord, I need some direction. Lord, I need an answer to prayer here. Lord, if I could just hear you speaking through a bush again. God, who at sundry times, many different times, various times. That word sundry also seems to indicate by part or by portion. One part at a time. Yeah, the Lord was working throughout the course of the history of man. Was working to bring mankind to this place. Little by little, whenever it was needed, to the person to whom it was needed and in the way that it was needed. The Lord knew how to communicate to them, here's my will. You're part of my plan. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I want you to do. God, in all these different ways and to all these different people, He revealed that part of His will that He wanted to convey at that time. And you know, I believe it'll be similar in our lives. That, again, my own experience, and maybe it'll be the same with you, that it's not always, here's what I want out of your life. 10 years from now. Here's where I want you to be. Here's what I expect from you. Perhaps here's what I'm calling you unto 20 years down the road. I don't believe it's as often this grand picture that the Lord unveils to us as it is saying, here's the step I want you to take tomorrow. Here's the place that I want you to be in today. Be faithful in that step, and I'll show you the next step. Because the Lord, and He's shown me before in the past, Clint, if I showed you the whole plan, you'd try to get there your own way. If I showed you what my purpose was for you in so many years down the road, you'd already have in your mind to be trying to work through, how do I get there? Well, it seems like this is what I need to do to make that happen. But instead, He said, trust in me. Trust in me and follow me one step at a time. And the Lord knows how, in sundry times and in divers manners, the Lord knows how to reveal unto us what His will and what His purpose is. It says in all these different times and all these different ways that He spake unto our fathers. But it says, now He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. In all those ways that the Lord spoke in times past, under the Old Testament, but it says now, I've spoken through my Son. The Mount of Transfiguration, whenever they witnessed, was it Elijah, Moses that were there with them, representing the law and the prophets, that all pointed, that all foretold of Christ who was to come, Christ who was the fulfillment of that. And they came and appeared with Jesus there in the brightness of His glory. And as they beheld that, they said, Lord, it's good that we've been here. Let us make 3 tabernacles or 3 temples and erect in honor of the 3 that are here. And they heard a voice from heaven. This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. The time is past now of the law and the prophets. You had the law and the prophets. They pointed to me. They pointed to my Son. I want you to listen to what He has to say now. Jesus said whenever He was here walking on the earth, and He did so many miracles. He worked and showed Himself that He was of God in so many ways. And you know, it seems like that ought to be enough to convince anybody. It ought to be enough. One of the miracles that Jesus did ought to have been enough to convince every skeptic that was there. But was that the case? There were still many that beheld the miracles, that saw the things that He did, that still didn't believe. He said in one place, oh, you slow of heart. Slow of heart. To believe all the prophets have said. That should have been enough. All the prophecies. Jesus, the scripture says that we have a more sure word of prophecy that fulfilled and brought us to the point. As a schoolmaster was the law and the prophecy that pointed to Christ, that should have been enough to understand this is the fulfillment of God's will. This is the expression of God and who He is. But yet they didn't see it. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They weren't able to see His will. They weren't able to receive it. They were still looking for something else. Many people today are still looking for something else. Let's look at Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 and 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired Him that He would shew them a sign from heaven. Read of a similar account like that in Mark chapter 8, where the people came to Him and said, Master, Lord, show us a sign from heaven. Why would you ask somebody for a sign from heaven unless you had reasonable belief that they could do it? There was something here that they realized. They had no doubt seen some of the miracles, but yet they came to Him, and it says here they came tempting Him. Well, Lord, show us something else. Show me something more. What I've seen is not enough. I still don't believe. I'm still not convinced. I need to see something else. And in the account in Mark, it says that Jesus groaned deeply in his spirit. There was something about that. It weighed on Jesus. Oh, you slow of heart to believe. Why? I've shown myself. I've shown you the way. I've given you the word. And yet you still don't believe it. You're still not willing. Another sign's not going to do it for you. It wasn't that Jesus couldn't show another sign from heaven. It was a light matter for him to turn a stone into bread, if that's what he needed to do. But the Lord knew when he needed to do that. And he knew when that was the thing that would convince the unbeliever. But those that were slow of heart, he knew, I've already given you everything that you need. The caution that I want us to take is that if we're not careful, we can be slow of heart to believe. Lord, I need something else. Lord, I need something more. And the Lord's saying, I've already shown you. What are you doing with the word that I've already given to you? What are you doing with the step I've already asked you to take? It would be easy enough to say when the Lord brings me up to the brink of the river and says, step your foot in. Lord, I'll step my foot in once you show me the sign by parting the waters. And when you show me a strong enough sign so that it convinces every doubt in my mind, I'll go. But the Lord didn't do that. He said, take the step. Put your foot into the water. One step at a time, folks, is how I believe the Lord is going to lead us. We've got to take that step. We've got to go one day at a time. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about next year. Lord, help me to be faithful to what you've shown me today. Help me to be faithful to, the Lord wants us to grow in these areas. As they went into the Canaan land, he said, I'm not going to give it all to you in one year, but I'm going to give it to you little by little. You're going to go in and possess the land as far as you're willing to possess it, as far as you're willing to go put your foot down. The land's going to be yours. But I'm not going to have you just step into the land and all of a sudden all the walls fall down. You're going to have to go from city to city to city. You're going to have the will and the determination. Remember what we read there starting in Psalms. Lord, the whole message and idea of it was, Lord, if you show me your will, Lord, I'm ready and willing to do it. And I'll delight in it. And I'll observe it. And I'll walk in it all the days of my life. There's a part that we have to play. We have to be faithful to the word that the Lord gave. Yes. Scripture says, I believe it's in the second chapter of Hebrews, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There's a responsibility that comes with the words we receive. There's a responsibility that comes with the understanding that the Lord gives us. The step that the Lord asks us to take. Whereas I might want to stand back and say, well, Lord, I still don't quite understand that. Lord, this still doesn't quite make sense to my mind. I'm still not able to connect all the dots here. I'm going to hold back here a little bit. Lord, show me a sign. Show me something more. We read a mention about the fleece. Gideon put a fleece out before the Lord. You know, I don't believe there's anything wrong. And I've asked the Lord different times. My Lord, give me a sign. I want to be sure about your will. And the Lord doesn't want us to go off half-cocked and go off at our own whim. He wants us to know the mind of the Lord. Gideon asked for the fleece. He asked for it two different ways. That it be dry and then that it be wet and that the ground be the opposite around it. And the Lord did that for him. The Lord revealed himself to Gideon in that way. And you know the Lord in these sundry manners, divers manners that he shows us, the Lord has a way of revealing his will in so many different ways to us. And I am convinced that he has a way of making it plain and making it clear. He has a way of it being accompanied without confusion. He has a way of bringing peace of heart with it. And a comfort and just an assurance in my spirit that this is right. An assurance that this is the Lord's way. Whereas sometimes I might be standing and looking, Lord, I want to see the earthquake. I want to see the ground shaking. I want to see things trembling. Lord, show me a sign. And instead, the Lord's saying, I'm not in all that. I'm in the still small voice that you hear when all that's over, if you'll listen. If you'll stop and you'll listen, I've got a still small voice that wants to speak to you in a manner that gives you that assurance in your heart that's just between you and the Lord, that there's something that says, Lord, yes, Lord, that's your voice. Lord, I know the sweet sound of thy voice. The sheep are to know the voice of the shepherd. I've been listening to that voice. And I want to say here, whenever we get into major life decisions, that's a good time to seek the Lord. But the better time to seek the Lord was before we ever get into those major life decisions. To where I've been in a place where I've been talking with the Lord. I've been listening to the Lord. I've been learning the sound of His voice so that whenever I come to that time, Lord, now I need an answer. I need an answer. I recognize that. I know that sound. I've been talking to the Lord. The Lord wants us to have that daily relationship with Him. That learning the sound of that still small voice. Learning what that check feels like of my spirit. When I start to say something, no. And I recognize, you know, I wasn't in some thundering voice, but it was in the check of the Spirit. So we read here that there was a time that God in the past spoke through many different marvelous ways and is still able to do it today. But it says in these last days, today, in this dispensation, He speaks to us through His Son. We read in 2 Corinthians 3, it's talking about the ministration of death versus the ministration of the Spirit. It's talking about the old law versus the new law. The time that Moses, the children of Israel were under, whenever they'd hear the voice out of heaven. Whenever Moses could go up into the mountain and there was the cloud and fire and a very obvious demonstration of God's power and of His presence. And he could stand there, and it says that Moses talked to the Lord in one place face to face as a man doth his friend. It was a place there to be able to hear that audible voice. And I've thought in the past, as I've already mentioned, Lord, it'd be nice. It'd be real nice for you to just, I'm driving along or I'm walking through the field and, Lord, you do know how to still set bushes on fire, don't you? Lord, I need an answer. But you know, we read here in 2 Corinthians 3 that was glorious. That was wonderful how God worked with His people. How God in so many different ways showed Himself to His people at just the right time in history, at just the right moment. Esther didn't know why she was brought into the palace. Esther didn't have it all unfolded before, but she was faithful in what God gave her from day to day so that God could work all in all to the purpose of His will in His time of somebody that He can trust, of someone that He can know they're not going to jump until I say jump. They're not going to run. They're going to stand still and wait until the time is right. Wait for that voice. And Esther was faithful in all of her dealings there until the time that the Lord revealed to her. Her uncle said, Esther, who knows but what the Lord's brought you into the kingdom. Talk about purpose. Folks, the Lord has a purpose for our life. The Lord has meaning for our life. He's got a purpose for us being here. I was touched by the song that said, Lord, I don't want to stand alone. Let me bring at least one soul to You. Lord, I want my life to count. I want to be able to make in whatever way it can, and the only way that it will, is if the Lord can have His way. If I can submit to the Lord's will and be material, what does the scripture say? That's meat for the master's use. That's suitable. That's prepared unto every good work. Lord, don't know what You're trying to do. Don't know the whole life story before me. But here am I, Lord. I'm faithful. By Your grace and by Your help, from day to day, in the little things, in the big things, in everything that You show me, endeavoring to be faithful. Then the day came whenever the Lord brought that plan into fruition in Esther's life and for the purpose of the Jews. Did the same thing for Joseph, and he'll do the same thing for us. My life story may not be as grand and spectacular as Esther's or as Joseph's, but the Lord's got a purpose for me, just like he did for them. The Lord's got a purpose for every one of us. We can be like the lump of clay on the potter's wheel that mars, but I want to be a lump of clay that's pliable, that's soft, that the Lord can use to manifest his will. May the Lord help us that we not be slow of heart to believe. Lord, I need something more. Lord, I want something more. Remember, I believe I mentioned it here not too long ago. Whenever Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven, some of the prophets, sons of the prophets, were standing off at a distance. And they doesn't tell exactly what all they saw, but they knew what was coming. And it says that they were beholding from a distance, from some ways off. And afterwards they inquired of Elisha of what happened. And they said, we're going to gather some men together and we're going to go search for Elijah's bones. Elisha said, don't go. He knew there was no use. He saw what had happened with his own eyes. But yet there was something even of what they had seen, perhaps at a distance. But there was something they said, we need something more. It's still not quite settled in our minds. And so they went and spent several days searching and scouring by a search party. And you know what they found? Nothing. Just as Elisha knew they wouldn't. It was a wasted exercise. The Lord wants us to learn the sound of his voice and to be willing to accept the voice that he speaks to us with. Though it be a still, small, quiet voice, that I'd be willing to say, yes, yes, Lord. Not slow of heart. Whenever we desire the Lord's will, whenever we're praying, we've got to be aware and cautious about my own desires. Because my own desires can get in the way. I'm asking about this, but I really don't want to do it. Or I'm asking about this like Balaam, and I really do want to do it. And I'm going to keep on asking until I hear the answer that I want to hear. You know, isn't it something how that works? How you ask often enough, and you're likely to get the answer that you knew all along that you would get. The Lord allows it to work that way, but to those who are of a heart like the psalmist said, Lord, teach me to do thy will. Show me, Lord, just show me your way. And I'm waiting ready to do it. Lord, I can't do your will until I know it. But if you'll show me step by step, Lord, I'll fulfill and walk in your way. I'm thankful today for a better way. So this was saying that way was glorious, but there was a way that was rather far more glorious. That's the time that we're in today. Amen. That's the dispensation that we're under today. And you say, well, how could that be better? How could that, whenever it comes to hearing the mind of the Lord, whenever it comes to knowing the way, how do you get any better than the Lord directly from heaven speaking with a voice? Do you know there's something that's more sure? There's something that is more personal, more real, down in the heart, where the Spirit wants to come and take his abode, that can reveal, that can check, that can move, that can incline our hearts in the right way. In other words, when I don't clearly know, Lord, would you work through my thoughts? Would you work through my desires? When our mind and our hearts are given to the Lord, we can pray like that. Lord, my heart's yours. My thoughts are yours. Where I don't clearly know in my mind just which way, and it's not all clear before me, Lord, incline my heart. Lord, would you steer my desires in the right way? Would you steer my thoughts in the right way? The Lord knows how to work with our dreams and with our thoughts and with our desires if they're sanctified unto him. The Lord is looking for vessels that are meet for his use, sanctified unto the Lord. There are some things that are expressly told to us of the Lord's will. Yes. Scripture says, 1 Timothy 4, that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It says that the Spirit would speak expressly, with no ambiguity. It's not unclear. There's no uncertain sound to it. Expressly means outspoken. You know, it can be just as real to us in our hearts as if we did hear like Moses heard. It can be witnessed to our hearts by the Father through the Spirit and just as real to us so that there's no doubt, there's no shadow of turning, there's no confusion about it. The Spirit speaks expressly unto us, very clearly unto us, of the right from the wrong, of being able to discern and have an understanding of the times that we're in and what the Lord's will is. Sometimes I'm asking the Lord for something that He doesn't want to give me yet. And He's saying, just wait. You're not there yet. Just wait. I'll show you that whenever you're ready for it. But meanwhile, here's what I have given you. Be faithful in that. Be faithful in what I have revealed unto you to this point. When the time is right, folks, the Lord, when we give ourselves to Him, the Lord's never going to let us get into a place where if only I had known the mind of the Lord, but He wouldn't show me. If only I had known that this was a snare or this was a trap. But the Scripture says, and we heard it read this morning, that whenever the Lord would come and He had put His law in our hearts, that we would no longer have to say every man to his brother, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. We can all be able to have access, not just like the children of Israel who sent Moses up into the mountain. Moses, you go find out what the Lord wants to say to us. But instead, I can go and steadfastly behold His face. I can come boldly before the throne of grace. I can come for myself and say, Lord, I need some answers. Lord, I need some help here. I need some guidance. And there is that still small voice whenever you're in the way that'll say, this is the way. Walk ye in. And when you turn to the right or to the left, we hear that voice and that check within our spirits that'll guide and steer us in the right way. And if we follow in His way, we follow in His will as it is revealed to us little by little, we'll be able to get down the road and look back and see a little more clearly. Farther along, the song says, I'll understand more. Farther along, we'll know all about it. There'll come a time that it may not come until I get to glory, but there will be a time that I am convinced we'll be able to clearly see and understand, Lord, You really did know what You were doing. And I believe in that day we'll be able to do nothing but fall on our face before God. Lord, thank You for having mercy on me. Lord, thank You for those times that I wanted to go my own way, that I thought I knew the right way. And Lord, You were right there. You closed the door before me. Lord, You were right there. You brought affliction to me. David said, unless I had been afflicted, I would have gone astray. Are we to the point that we're willing to say, Lord, I desire Your will so much. I desire Your will to be done in my life to the point, Your purpose to be fulfilled in my life, that I can say, Lord, if I start going in the wrong way, bring affliction to me. Lord, if You need to bring me down, bring me down. If I need to go through the trial of affliction or the trial of persecution, then I say, Lord, have Your way. Work all things in all to bring about Your purpose and Your will for my life. The Lord is well able to do that. Well able to fulfill His purpose in our lives. But He needs vessels. In this dispensation, the dispensation where He wants to speak unto us through His Son by His Spirit, that are willing to hear, that are willing to listen, that are filled with His Spirit, and is willing to follow in the ways that He reveals and that He shows to us. Thomas was doubting. The prophets were not real sure. What about us? What are we doing with what the Lord has shown to us? The Lord doesn't hold us responsible for next year. Yet, whenever I consecrate myself to the Lord, I don't hardly know how to consecrate for next year. I don't hardly know how to consecrate for, to the best of my understanding, I do it. But I say, Lord, here I am. Lord, my life is yours. I'm giving you permission and I'm asking you, Lord, come in and fill me. Come in and work your purpose and your will. I am not my own. I'm no longer my own, but Lord, I'm yours. And I present myself unto the Lord. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves unto him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Lord, here I am. May not be much, but Lord, would you work your purpose in this little lump of clay? I don't want to be my own. I don't want to live for myself. I've got plans. I've got ideas. I've got dreams. But Lord, it's yours. Make of me what you want me to be. You know, the devil, I believe, tries to confuse the plan of sanctification way too much. It's part of the plan of salvation. It's an extension. It's the fulfillment of the plan of salvation. Where I come and present a clean vessel to him. Lord, he told of the son that came to the father and asked for a fish. Will he give him a stone? This is something that the father desires to do. This is something that he wants to fill us with his spirit. He wants to be able to have that close relationship and working within our lives. That he's ready. When I recognize the need, as Brother Rick said this morning in Sunday school, when I recognize the need, Lord, I need that power in my life. I need the infilling of the Spirit. I want your will to be done in my life. And I come to the Lord with a heart that has no reserve. No, and I've struggled in the past saying, Lord, I don't know if I can be sanctified. How can I know if I've given you all? How can I know if I'm consecrating to next year? Don't even know what next year holds. The Lord is our reasonable service, folks. The Lord holds us responsible to today, to what's in my heart today. Lord, to everything I have, to everything I know. Lord, it's yours. I give it to you. I want to be a vessel that's in your hands, not living unto my own desires. This work of the Spirit within our lives, it's not just a work that comes with a name, or I can just say I'm sanctified now, went down to the altar, but whenever I get up from there, it goes with me. Every day of my life, it influences the decisions that I make because I'm not my own anymore. Lord, I'm yours. And I give the Lord permission. I yield myself. I give my will. A yield sign means you can go, but check the other direction. The Lord gives us some latitude in life. The Lord gives us some ability. What color shirt do I want to wear? The Lord gives us the ability to choose and gives us taste and gives us life. But all of our will, all of our decisions, our choices must be yielded to Him. In other words, I'm going to check first. Lord, is this your will? Lord, is this in keeping with your purpose? As I mentioned a few moments ago, there are some things that are expressly told to us of His will. There are things that I'll be without excuse. There are things that the Lord has conveyed to us as His will. One of them He said, now this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. This is the will of God. This is the purpose. Jesus, I believe, said, if any man love me, let him keep my commandments. Let him keep my will, my desire. Another one says that it is His will that we should give thanks. May the Lord help us so we be of a heart. Let's close in Psalms 143. Of a heart that says, Lord, I desire to do Thy will. 143rd chapter of Psalms. I'd like to get the 10th verse. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lord, would You teach me? Would You help me? And I'm so thankful that the Lord, He'll teach me and He'll teach you. how I can come to the Father and how I can learn His voice for myself. You know, in some ways it's easier. It's easier to just get it from a man. And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. The Lord has still chosen through the foolishness of preaching to convey and to speak His will. He still works that way. But He's also given us the privilege and the responsibility to go directly to Him. And so the scripture says of the Bereans, they heard and they received with readiness of mind, not with a thought, well, I just get mine directly from the Lord and I'm not going to hear anything you have to say. But they came with readiness of mind. Lord, if there's something you can teach me, Lord, if there's something that you, do you have something in this for me? But I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk to the Lord about it because we have this relationship. And I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, would you show me? Would you reveal to me? And I can get it personally from the Lord. We have that responsibility. It can be easier to be in a place where we have a ministerial board that says, here's the colors that you're going to wear. Here's the how many buttons you're going to have buttoned. Here's the uniform that we publish in writing to everybody here. And I come and I submit to it and I submit to whatever man tells me needs to be done. Folks, not talking about us having a rebellious spirit. I'm talking about us having a desire. Lord, I delight to do in thy will. So if your will, Lord, you reveal to me that it says that you hate nakedness. Lord, I delight to do your will. Lord, teach me your will. Teach me what that means for me. Lord, help me to have understanding of your will. And Lord, my commitment here is that I'll do it. By your grace, whatever you show me, Lord, I'll walk in that way. And I'll never go back. To follow the Lord. To get the mind of the Lord. The mystery of His will revealed and unraveled in our hearts and minds is one of the most wonderful privileges, blessings that we could ever experience. And folks, it's not something out of reach. It's not something unattainable. It's not something just for the ministers and those that have been saved for 40 years finally reach some kind of plateau or plane where now they can hear the mind of the Lord, but He wants to reveal to all of us, from the ministers all the way up to everybody else, from the least all the way to the greatest, He wants to be able to reveal His will and His purpose, His desire, and His heart to all of us. You pray for me. Amen.